A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 Fit Talmud. Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, Avodah Zarah 3a, pagination is 5. We'll start on the facing page. We're about 20 lines up from the bottom. In the beginning of a line, Omrim Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, the nations of the world will address Hashem, the master of the universe, in the following way. Our discussion over here is that at the end of time, in terms of when we will be judged, the times of Mashiach, nations of the world will come and claim that they want to be rewarded as well for their running the world, in which righteous people did the right thing. And Hashem will say that that was not their intent, and they don't deserve reward for other people's righteous deeds. They will then counter, Kolum nasata lanu v'lo kibalnuha. Did you give us the Torah that we didn't accept it? In other words, had you given us the code of morality, then we would have had a chance to do the righteousness as you have decided and are judging us on. The Gemara wonders, Hashem did offer the Torah to all the nations of the world. What kind of argument is that? You didn't offer us the Torah. Hashem actually did offer the Torah to every nation, and they turned it down. That's the famous statement from Chazal that Hashem was asked, what's written in the Torah? And to each of the nations, Hashem answered, the thing that would be tough for them, the thing that would require self-growth. And in each case, Chazal recount, Hashem was turned down. So the Gemara over here continues and says, it's about 8 lines from the bottom, that their question is not, did you offer us the Torah, but rather, did you force us to take the Torah the way you forced the Jewish people? Kulum kafisa aleinu har kegigis v'lo kibalnua k'moshe asisa liYisrael. Did you take the mountain and hold it above us like a barrel and say to us, if you don't accept, you're going to die this minute? And in such a case, we wouldn't have accepted it. In such a case, we would have also accepted it. The way you did to the Jewish people, where you told them it's do or die. Now, this is a very profound concept. For the Jew involved in mitzvahs, it really is something compelling that they have to do. And when we approach a mitzvah, we're creative, we figure out how we're going to do it, and we don't give up easily. There is a different perspective that approaches righteous deeds as a bit of volunteerism when it's convenient. And the nations of the world who make these arguments would say about the 613 mitzvahs, they would argue, it can't be done. And what's interesting is during a conversation, a Jew will answer, what do you mean it can't be done? I do it. And someone who's uninitiated would continue to say, but it can't be done. There's 613. How do you do all that? And the difference to a great extent is this expression. Hashem introduced to the Jewish people a do or die kind of concept, which doesn't literally mean die. If a person's life depended on it, they would be allowed to eat non-kosher, for example. But it's an overall attitude of, I'm going to make this happen. One interesting example, fasting, which in our day is difficult. People are not as strong. But if you have a public fast day, a Tisha B'Av, for example, a typical Jew would prefer to climb into bed and get through the fast day rather than break his fast, and would do so perhaps even on a lesser fast, where if a person was that sick, we could debate whether they really should be breaking their fast or not, But the attitude of the Jew is to really try. A quick distinction, Yom Kippur, we would have to get into bed. You're not allowed to break your fast just because you feel sick, unless it's life-threatening, obviously, in which case we have protocol. Again, the nations of the world are arguing, number one, did you force us? Did you really give us the opportunity to do mitzvahs? And number two, they have a different thing which they want addressed, which is moving on to today's daf, about 15 lines down. The nations of the world say, Ribono shel olam yisro shekiblu ha'hechan kimuha. The Jewish people who did accept the Torah, did they really fulfill it? And on this, we have a very interesting dialogue. Amar lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to them, Ani meid, I'm willing to say testimony that the Jewish people have kept the Torah throughout the ages. And the nations respond, a father can't say testimony about his son. And you have such a closeness to the Jewish people, it's like a father to his children. So Hashem says, so the heavens and the earth should say testimony. And the nations of the world in this dialogue respond, Nogin be'edu, son. They have an affinity to one side, which is that the Torah is being kept, because their existence hinges on the Torah being kept. So they're not very good, uninvolved witnesses. And so Hashem's response is about 8 lines above where the wide lines begin. Om Elohim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Mikem yavau v'yaidu behen b'Yisrael. We're going to have, from the nations of the world, people to testify on the Jewish people, Shekimu es HaTorah, that they kept Torah. Yavo Nimrod, let Nimrod come, and let him say testimony in Avraham that he didn't serve Avodah Zarah. Nimrod wanted Avraham killed, threw him into a fiery furnace for it. So he could say testimony about idol worship in its most difficult situation. Avraham stood up. Yavo Lavan. Lavan should stand up and he'll say testimony about Yaakov that there was no theft. Yaakov worked so hard, honest work, as we see at the end of Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov's great declaration. Tavo Eshes Potifera. Let the wife of Potiphar say testimony about Yosef, that even in a compromising situation, Yosef would not be with her. Yavo Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar should come, and he'll say testimony about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that they wouldn't bow down to the icon of Nebuchadnezzar. We've discussed this. It wasn't a true Avodah Zarah, Tosfos says, but nevertheless, they wouldn't bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar should say the testimony. Yavo Daryavish. Daryavish can come, and he'll say testimony about Daniel, that even when they outlawed prayer, Daniel did not stop from davening to Hashem. And so, on the question, did the Jewish people observe the mitzvahs? Hashem says, you don't want me to testify, you don't want heaven and earth to testify. Fine, so I'll take testimony from you, the nations that are arguing the topic. And you'll have to say testimony honestly in the times of Mashiach, total honesty, and they're going to have to say this testimony. On the first question, why don't you give us mitzvahs? So we're on the third of the wide lines. Amar Lefanov, the nations continue and say, Ribono shel olam, tenalanu me'rosh v'na'aseno. Let's start again. Let's try again. Amar Elohim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Shotim sheba'olam, fools of the world. Misha tarach be'erev Shabbos, yocha b'Shabbos. This was the entire test. During the time of regular living, you have to choose righteousness, and then a time comes of judgment. You can't come at the time of judgment when everything is revealed and say, oh, now I want to do the right thing. The expression is, whoever works before Shabbos will have what to eat on Shabbos. And that applies in many dimensions. A person who prepares for the journey will have what to eat on the journey. And that's this analogy that during lifetime, a person is supposed to prepare, and then they have their preparation. Nevertheless, Hashem says, I'm going to give you a chance. Mitzvah kalo yeshli, I have a light, an easy mitzvah. V'sukkah shema, its name is sukkis. Sukkah. L'chuva asuosa, go do it. That'll be your chance. Now, the Gemara wonders, five lines up from the bottom, why is it called a mitzvah kala? Mishum deles b'chisaron kis, because it has no financial loss. You can make a sukkah out of things that are readily available. And so everybody goes and makes a sukkah, and Hashem is makdir aleim chama b'tekufas tamos, makes it enormously hot, unbearably hot. And each one of these people, wannabe righteous people, is going to kick the sukkah in frustration and leave it. So the Gemara wonders, why would Hashem make this mitzvah so hard? Especially this was the mitzvah to give them a chance. That's not fair if it's really that hot. So then, what are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to observe it? And the Gemara answers, listen, if we're comparing the Jewish people who kept the mitzvahs to these wannabe righteous people, so the Jews also sometimes have very hot, uncomfortable, unbearable weather on Sukkot, and they deal with it. Says the Gemara, yeah, but they deal with it on the second line of the second side, mitzdayer potter min hasukkah, they're allowed to leave the sukkah. So why is this the test? And the Gemara answers, yeah, that's the test. Nehi de potter, the Jewish people are potter, they're absolved. But biute mi mevaati, do they kick the sukkah on the way out? They leave with reverence. They're deprived of the mitzvah that they wanted. And what emerges, it appears, is that the real test that the nations that want to be righteous in the end of days are being given is not really the mitzvah of sukkah to do it, but rather they build a sukkah, and the test is going to be, they don't have to do the mitzvah of sukkah, it's that hot that they're potter. The test is going to be, how do they leave the sukkah? When you're deprived of the mitzvah that you want to do, how do you do it? And that's their test. And on that test, that's truly an Ein Bo Chisaron Kis. There's no money involved. Just a question of when you're deprived of a mitzvah, how do you do it? And that test, the Gemara says, they failed. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining me.